Fresh Takes.
Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Cash, and Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Hello, meme.
Hello.
I did it this time.
Yeah, that's it. Proud of you.
This is the only time I'm going to call you by that. It will perfect. Be by your first name, because that is what I am used to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, Invincible, season 3, episode 6. What have you done, right?
What have I done?
No, that's episode 7. All I can say is I'm sorry. That is the episode. Yep. Which I guess is kind of the first question. Do we know why?
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the end of the episode, it pretty much solidified that.
Powerplex is here. It is the episode that we talked about throughout the whole season three, this one, the preview.
This one and the next one, waiting for him.
Oh, yes. That and the one after that, which is Conquest.
Of course.
So, Brandon, I think the first question is, Powerplex, did it live up to the amount of hype that we've been talking about?
I think so, to some extent. It was definitely a more like a dynamic villain, like a different kind of like not just like a stereotypical villain, which is kind of what, from what I understand, is what we're getting into more of, is that kind of more interesting, like morally questionable kind of side.
The tragic villain. This is the villain that like makes Mark question everything. And I think we'll get more into it. And this is like kind of the moment that like I've been talking about this whole series, especially starting with like this season and a little bit of season 2, is what type of hero is Mark going to be? And this villain kind of makes that question of like, what type of hero is Mark going to be? It's going to put everything in question, and it's going to be the person he thinks about moving forward. So let's get into it. So I kind of wrote down I broke it into 5 different parts. 2 main parts, maybe 80% of the episode, which is Powerplex, and everything that has to do with Mark, and then 3 little pieces of side characters, side stories that progressed. So let's get into Powerplex. Scott Duvall, voiced by Aaron Paul, Breaking Bad, Jesse from Breaking Bad. I forget the character he plays on BoJack Horseman, but that's more or less who I kept thinking of during this episode because his voice is actually pretty well known from that show.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a fairly unique voice, kind of a cadence to him.
Yeah, and I think it served his character very, very well. This Powerplex, this tragic, I would say villain. Yeah. Not like a villain to start, but very much went down the tragic path of a villain. So just to kind of recap what happened, we relive Omni-Man and Invincible's fight from the end of season 1, the fight in Chicago. Mark gets pushed through a building. He tries to save the building. This girl falls. He tries to catch her and ends up, she's dead. He just holds up her dead arm. This turns out to be Scott Duvall's sister, as well as his niece who died in this fight. And we get to see that from his perspective. We see that Scott Duvall always had powers, but just a very small set of powers. And you see it from his perspective, the amount of destruction that happens. And the first thing I thought of, and I saw other articles who brought this up too, this is very Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice-esque.
Yeah.
This idea of like this everyman.
Yeah.
Seeing it from that perspective and then, you know, essentially hating somebody because of it. You see him go to attorney trying to get Invincible, trying to get that justice, trying to get him served in courts. Yeah. And the attorney more or less is like, our laws do not apply here.
Mm.
Which I think puts Scott in like the right side of things initially.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting justice or, you know, trying to hold somebody accountable, you know,
mm-hmm.
for what they believe, you know, if you've been wronged.
And it does, and like his motivations make sense.
Mm, absolutely.
He works for the GDA. He steals equipment and it more or less charges up energy from the more hits and impacts it gets. He does a big practice speech in front of his wife, talking about why Mark needs justice. He needs to be faced in front of everybody else, and he needs to be the judge. And more or less, he gets his powers. His wife is essentially enabling him, always with his kid, and is trying to, you know, more or less encourage him
to follow through, yeah, with his yeah. plans.
So he makes up this big public event that Mark completely ignores. Just yep. shuts the TV off, like, yep. whatever.
Doesn't you know. Even hear him say that he's asking mm-hmm. about him.
I don't know if in the comic if he did. I think this actually is more or less what happened in the comics. He does get the interest of the Guardians, but he gets the interest of Shapesmith.
Yeah.
Who more or less is kind of talking trash, but like isn't aware that he's talking trash. Changes into Invincible. Just
yeah, probably the worst person that could have gone to that situation to try to de-escalate the situation.
Tries to punch him up and just immediately like, oh, I'm just gonna punch you, and then
gets blasted.
Eventually they fight, Powerplex escapes, Shapesmith gets essentially killed, and everybody thinks that he gets killed, and he's like, no, I didn't ask to fight you, you heard him in the Aaron Paul voice. And we get the really cool intro card of Invincible every during time he says part, his yeah. name. It's just, I need Invincible.
Yeah.
It's because of... And with the finale of all the colors switching, which we'll get into because it took me like the second time I watched this episode, I finally understood what the title card is referencing to, and we'll talk about it. Okay. It was talking about the episode that I've been referring to this entire season.
Okay.
Can't believe it took me this long to figure it out, but we'll talk about it. All right, he makes a second public appearance mm-hmm. at a memoriam, which he correctly guesses that Invincible would be attending. But instead of Invincible, Eve interjects and more or less captures.
Puts him down pretty easily.
He escapes. To then again make a third appearance, this time kidnapping his wife and child. Invincible at one point punches him. He uses all that power on Invincible and obliterates everything in sight, except it's not a killing blow to Mark, but it is a killing blow to his wife and child, and probably one of the more traumatic ways you could die.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what happened with Powerplex. On the lighter side of things, we have Mark, Invincible side. Oliver gets some training fighting Elephant Man, voiced by the legendary John DiMaggio, out there trying to stop people from eating burgers and eat more vegetarian food. And you know what? He has a point.
Yep.
The whole, like, elephants are, you know, dogs aren't too far off from burgers. He has a point. I'm still eating my beef, though.
Yep.
I'm just saying he has a point. Oliver is more or less using Elephant Man as practice dummy. He's aware of it. Mark's barking orders. Eve's giving him some positive coaching. And Oliver is just like, yep, you're my training dummy. He then talks about Dad and about how, from his perspective, Dad saved more lives than he killed. He should have a chance of redemption. And pretty much Mark and Eve are like, yeah, it's just, that's probably not going to happen. But opens up the door for Mark to be like, you know what, maybe Dad deserves a little bit of forgiveness here. Opens up the door. We get Debbie and Paul and talking about how Paul can't live up to Nolan. Debbie kind of encouraged him. Is like, you don't have to be their dad. You just more or less have to show up. I kind of like in that whole conversation, I'm just like, you just have to be her lover, man. Like,
yep.
They're good.
Right.
They don't need a dad. Just, we move to William's party. William is great at bowling. I even save the picture of like, who's, what's everyone's score. William is dominating.
Yeah.
But I'm also pretty sure Mark is holding himself back.
Hey, gotta be. I just think about the scene in The Boys with Starlight when she's going against Huey and he's like, you know, you're really bad at this. And she's like, well, and it shows him. It's like, yeah. I mean, Eve has got to have some, I mean, if she has powers, she's got to be able to strike them all down too.
I'm pretty sure they,
yeah.
But what William habits. Amber shows good friends. Up with her new boyfriend. William's just like, calm down, you're adults. Like, she's happy, you're happy. Like, grow up. Mark and Amber have a pretty good, nice exchange. They're happy and they move on. Mark ignores the whole news of the super villain that's calling out for him. Eventually, they go to a memorial. Eve reminds Mark that he is a victim too. Paul's again doing all this talking with him and Debbie. Mark kind of Oliver spying on them. Mark kind of does the let me help you out there.
Yikes him out of there. Yep.
I will say every time you watch that scene, my wife just laughs her ass off on it. Like I will say, just Stephen Yeun, well done in that yep. moment. Very humorous. Powerplex shows up the memorial. Eve, more or less, just like, hey, I got it, and does very well with him. And Debbie's just like, hey, give her more credit than that. Like, she's got this. And Eve knocked it out of the park.
She figured out how his powers work right away.
Yep.
And, yeah, shut it down.
Mark and Eve talk about Scott. Mark gets information from Donald. Mark then meets Scott, and all that happens.
I do like that Mark and Donald still have a little bit of a relationship.
I mean, it makes sense. Shows,
yeah.
William, Donald. Rick, like he's the liaison.
It's good to know he still has like at least a way to speak to them kind of thing if he needs to. You know.
All right, and the three other storylines. We have Rudy fixes Monster Girl's power. She no longer de-ages when she uses her power thanks to a belt. Ray confronts Rex. She's quitting the team. Wants Rex to quit with her. Rex declines, state that that's all he has is superheroing. Ray and Rex then share a kiss. My wife thinks they had sex. I'm like, well, they didn't show it.
They didn't awkwardly cut away from it, saying that they did. Doing it.
Exactly. They shared a moment. It may have led to more. It doesn't matter. And then we get Angstrom at the end with so many Invincibles. And yes, Brandon, it is here. That is the moment that I've been waiting for.
Yes.
It is called Invincible War.
It's going
to. What was that?
It's going to pop off.
A lot of things are going to pop off. So many things. All right. This is where I do my fun little segment called I Got Some Questions. I have a decent amount of questions. Hold on. I got to count them. What we got here? 20 questions.
Wow. Playing 20 questions.
We are. Except there's no fun guessing at the end. All right. Number one. John DiMaggio needs a bigger role, right?
I mean... Everything he's in, I mean, he's just a legendary voice actor, right?
He is. He gets like two lines, and I'm like, I want more. I want more Elephant Man. Give John DiMaggio like a bigger role, please. Make him the big villain at the end. I would be so happy.
Yeah.
No, I really would. His voice Bender just switched up. Jake the Dog, Bender.
Just have him come in and
clean house. Is he bigger as Bender or bigger as Jake the Dog?
I think of Bender, but maybe that's because I'm old.
Maybe. But also, Adventure Time's also old.
That's
about as old as Futurama.
Yeah.
Question number two, is this the best episode yet?
Like overall, like, or just the season?
Season three and overall.
I mean, that was a pretty good episode.
Mm-hmm.
The only one, I mean, the first episode of the season was pretty hype too.
Yep. I think it beats it.
Yeah. I mean, it hits harder, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think it's on the level of, like, when you think of the best Invincible episodes, I think this is the episode where you consider, like, ooh, the Powerplex episode.
You're never going to forget it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's that episode where it's, like, it's maybe not as high as the finale of season one, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yep.
I will say in the comics, this is, like, I always remember Powerplex. I always forget how it goes down, but I remember Powerplex. I'm like, ooh, this really fucks up Mark emotionally. And, I mean, you see why.
Yep.
Okay. Question number three. How are we feeling with the animation going from, like, awful some scenes to flat out fucking amazing?
I mean, honestly, I wish it was more consistent overall, because it does have really good moments, but then there's also a lot of moments where it's like, you know.
It's just like a bunch of flat, no moving shots cut back to forth. There's a lot of moments where it's just like, ooh, this isn't looking that great.
Yeah.
Not like in moments that you need it to look great, but there's a lot of, like, there's just moments where you can tell that the animation's just not the greatest. But then you see this episode with, like, Powerplex and, like, the background with the music, and the, like, you can see, like, the details and the lighting, and I'm just like, holy fucking shit. This, like, I'm glad that this show can get really, really good and oftentimes great, especially in this episode, but it's just like, ooh, I do remember the bad moments.
Yep.
Is there a way that we can just, like, lift the floor of the show entirely? Yeah. Like, can we just have, like, good and then some great moments? Like, very much like One Piece. There's moments in, like, even the new anime that I'm catching up on, 1108, just because they finally released some dub episodes. But there's, like, moments even, like, in the new anime where it's, like, it's not the greatest. Like, you could tell, like, the animation's a little bit short in some shots, but mostly, especially when it gets really, really good, it's fucking really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare Invincible to, like, some of the top-tier anime nowadays, it is a little stark in comparison as far as just, like, the overall quality. Like, Invincible can get there sometimes, but, like, there's a lot of, like, anime and stuff that's just, like, always going there.
I think,
like, every fight, every scene, you know, is always crazy. I think of, like, Jujutsu Kaisen.
This is the episode that makes me, it's like, yes, the show can get there. All right, awesome. They're proving they can get there. It's just, okay, you got there. Can you be there consistently?
Yeah. Maybe they blew their whole budget on the last three episodes of the season.
Yeah, that could be very likely.
So
that's all. I'll just leave it at that. Scott's somewhat right here, isn't he?
I mean, he's right until he takes it too far.
Just like a lot of the tragic villains, Legend of Korra, I think of, and that it's, he's right, and then it's like, okay, but you're making a lot of destruction, so you got to get this justice. You're killing you more or less took the highest sacrifice so you can get your justice, which leads me to question number five. Did Becky deserve her death? Scott's wife.
I mean, deserve is a tough word, but I mean, she was just as much guilty, I feel like, as he was. I mean, for pushing and enabling, allowing herself and her baby to be tied up, you know, knowing that he's planning on potentially fighting Invincible, this guy who they think, you know, potentially causes all this collateral damage on his own, and then to put themselves in that situation, it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen when it did, like, when it happened, but it's just, like, reliving the scene through animation. It's just very, like, God, this is just a dumb idea. Just kidnap somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, or, like, do you even need to kidnap somebody? I mean, you've been able to get his people's attention thus far. Eventually, he will come, you know, or I don't know. I feel like there could have been better ways, obviously. It is tough because he did try, you know, the first time especially, you know, when Shape Smith or whatever comes out, he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's literally just trying to get some attention so he can confront him, and then it kind of goes down from there.
I'm pretty sure it was Becky's idea to, but, and I think in the comics they go into more in detail with this, but it was her idea, and it's like, oof, like, I get the logic, kind of, like, he's a hero, he's going to help people, he's going to see a victim, he's going to want to help, but, like, that's not why he showed up. He was going to show up the next time he made his case. Like, Mark was prepared for that moment, and I'm like, you just put your whole, you put yourself and your baby in danger to do something that you're moving past justice here. Yep. You're moving towards revenge. And I'm like, it's hard to say that she deserved death, at least to that painful degree, but it's like, you played your part in your demise.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you can argue you played the biggest part here, arguably. Maybe, like, her husband played the bigger part, but, like, you led him there. You led him to that degree, and you put yourself and your child in danger.
Yeah, that's pretty unforgivable.
Number six. Other than punching Scott that one time, did Mark do anything wrong here?
I think he could have tried to get them out there a little faster. You know, whether or not that was his fault. I mean, he can move real fast.
Oh, yeah. Like, get the two out of there, out of the way.
I can't imagine that he could have just, like, grabbed them and ripped the ropes off and flew out of there in, like, a half a second before he could have gotten back.
That's fair. That's fair. But, young adult, young hero, he's not going to think, hey, let's save. Which is funny to think, like, Oliver, he gave the advice, like, hey, watch out for the people. Get the people out of there.
Yep.
And he didn't do that himself.
Yep. That's a lesson learned.
And it should be. And I think, okay, good on you for finding that criticism. Because I was trying to think, like, I don't think Mark did anything wrong, like, in this moment. Like, even in the battle, he was right. He was a victim.
Absolutely.
He was fighting his dad who was attacking.
Yep.
He was used as a weapon in that moment. And he did his best. He wasn't a great hero, but he did his fucking best. He tried to save Scott's sister. Yep. Failed, but he tried. And so, other than, like, punching him, like, I can't think of, like, what he did wrong here, but I guess he could have saved the two. That being said, he wasn't planning on punching Jack, or Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, he did let his, anger get a little bit ahead of him there, too, which, he knew how his powers worked.
All right. Powerplex gets one guardian as the Shapesmith. Should he be insulted? Like, I think I asked this already.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, Shapesmith should be pretty powerful, right? Like, if he knows what he's doing, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I guess, read the room kind of thing. This is a guy that's having, like, mental, problems kind of thing, or just, needs help. He doesn't need to be beat up by some alien kind of thing. So having somebody go out there that maybe could have tried to talk him down instead of beat him up.
I'm thinking, like, Cecil's behind this, right? And that's, I have another question. I mean, my next question after this is, my next two questions are about this. One, where's the GDA in all of this? Obviously, Guardians is there, but we don't see Cecil at all. But I'm like, Cecil had to be aware of all of this, right? And he's probably aware of Donald.
Yeah.
Like, we can assume that Cecil knows. Like, he's not unaware of what is happening with Powerplex, but he's very much missing.
My assumption is that it's probably just too small for him to worry about.
Yeah.
It's pretty low tier.
Which is why he sent the Shapesmith. Yeah. It was fucking hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I just think of, like, all right, this is Jesse from Breaking Bad talking to Sonic. That's just, I'm like, this is crazy in my head right now, trying, like, just listening to this. But yeah, I just, after that it was Darkwing and Immortal and Shapesmith, which I'm like, hey, He got a little bump up. Like, he didn't get the full team, but that's a pretty good three, like a trio. That's a
I mean,
good trio.
that's almost a full team, isn't it? Aren't the what are you missing, Kate?
Kate's Black Samson.
Oh yeah, he's
Yeah,
still
yeah.
there. Yeah, so I mean,
You
that's the
got
majority of the team.
so I mean like you got stepped up. Number 10 is Eve too perfect? Because she's just killing it in like every scene she's in. She's got the perfect advice. She knows exactly how to like hit an opponent. She knows exactly what to say to Mark. Like it's like to the point where I'm like, oh wow, Eve's killing it. She's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can't deny that.
She's a little too awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting. I should go on the internet
Waiting
and
for the
I'm
shoe
pretty
to
sure.
drop.
Well, I'm just waiting for the Mary Sue arguments to go against her.
Yeah.
Super powerful. She's a woman. I don't know. Like, I make this is a superhero show. Angry men. I'm just like,
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that criticism. But I think it's a good question of like, what is her flaws? Because she's shown a lot of strengths.
Yeah. Well, we've seen her struggle a little bit throughout the show with her, trying to figure out what kind of hero she wants to be too.
That's fair. That's fair.
She's made mistakes.
Yeah, with like building, going to college to fix
Yeah.
all of
And even like in that fight she had where she was fighting that one dude with the big cannon arm or whatever, and she just like wanted to beat him up and almost let the people fall off the bridge and stuff.
Yeah, in her special episode.
Yeah, I never watched that.
No? Oh, is it
No.
in a different episode?
Yeah, that was
You
just a
should. It's
regular
good.
episode. Yeah.
It's a pretty good episode. It's a pretty good episode of like TV, and it was really like the right time to watch it, just because it's in the middle of it's season one, season two.
Yeah.
I think it was like right before season two came out. It was like,
I think so
hey,
too, yeah.
it's not out yet, but like enjoy the special episode. Number 11 is Mike. Not Mike. Mark. It's late at night. I just got puked
It's okay. It's
Mark,
okay.
right or wrong, not to present to Powerplex the second time or even the first time.
That's tough. Because just like we established, like, Mark is, just as much, well, not maybe not just as much, but a victim in in different ways in the same
Yeah.
situation. So it's hard to like try to pit them against each other,
I will say from a behavior standpoint, and the job in the field that I work on, if there's someone who is just like not in a good headspace and they're pissed off at you, one of the worst things that you can do if you're trying to de-escalate somebody in that situation is present the person they're really
To
fucking
confront
pissed.
them, yeah,
Yeah,
that
and
makes sense.
so what? Just watching the scene, I'm just like, okay, yep, you're in the right here. Go
Yeah.
out and try to de-escalate them, and more or less,
And
that's
she
what she did.
did. Yeah,
She
but
did.
then the GDA dropped the ball, underestimated him again.
Again, for
Yep.
this, like, hey, this dude gets powers by hitting himself. Maybe don't put him in a
Let him.
position where he can move and only give him in one truck in the middle of the city with only like three or four guards
Right.
or two. I think there was like two in the truck with him. It was bad. It was just dumb.
Yep.
It almost like feels like Cecil did this on purpose.
Yeah.
It's questionable. So the next question is, this isn't even a question. Powerplex has some great powers, huh? I just
No.
want to take a moment to just be
No, yeah,
like,
it's cool.
it
I
was a
mean,
cool,
I'm a
it's a
sucker
cool.
for electricity, and I like the concept of, taking in like force and stuff like that. It makes it an interesting fight because you
It's
can't just beat him up.
I just love it because it's like, all right, Invincible is super strong. Let's have a power that takes that away from him. You can't
Yep.
beat me by punching me because I'll just put it back to you. And it's a cool way to be like, how do I defeat the guy that I can't punch when my strength is the punch?
Right. It makes you think outside the box. I like that kind of stuff. It's kind of that's exactly what like the good parts of Superman is the type of the villains and the scenarios where he can't just punch his way out of it, because like he's so
Brainiac,
great
Lex
at it. Yeah,
Luthor,
exactly. It's the villains that you can't just
Parasite,
punch. Those are the most interesting ones.
Bizarro, Mr. Miskblix. Yeah, it's you know, when you're like the strongest person in the room, the smartest person in the room, how do you gain an advantage elsewhere? Flash, if you're the fastest, how do you counteract that? You know, really good writing on Robert Kirkman. My next question again is kind of another one. Aaron Paul's amazing, right? We already had that moment. Scott fails because he can't let it go. I think that was a question, but more or less we have the answer. Are we happy that Amber and Mark are perfectly fine with the breakup?
Yeah.
We don't see that often. It's kind of fresh.
Yeah, I'm happy with it because I don't really need the melodrama.
I agree. Let it be done.
Enough of that. Yeah, every show always has, you know, the breakup and the awkwardness and the will they won't they and all that crap. Let's just not do that.
They did avoid one potential storyline that I think from the comics, which was like the last storyline from Amber. In the comics, she dated somebody else. Not Kyle. She dated a guy named Gary. And Gary was very abusive to the point where it sent Mark towards rage towards Gary and threatened him. We didn't get Gary. We get Kyle, who more or less seems to be respectable.
Yeah.
And I know I read like an article that just kind of questioned, like, is this our show's version of dropping that storyline and their way of saying, like, hey, she's happy, he's happy, we're moving on. I mean, you don't get that in comics, so you don't get that in shows often. Yeah, we get the melodrama.
Right.
So I just wanted to highlight it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I appreciate the way that the relationships have been handled so far for the most part.
Mark, a victim of Omni-Man, that was a question, but I think we already know. What's with Paul? Paul's done, right? Like, I think we could say that Paul's, his exit's being written with the whole...
I mean, he didn't like being flown in a car very much. that was a great scene too.
How would you feel about that?
We got to go to Chicago in 30 minutes. They're like, oh, we're not teleporting, are we? No, we're taking the car. Just carrying them overhead.
Just the sigh of relief, like, oh, good. Wait.
Yeah.
I was questioning because I'm like, are they taking the car? Is it only in the 30 minutes? Like, do they live in the Chicago suburb?
Right.
Because, like, that's a question that's never answered in the comics.
Like, where exactly they are.
Yeah. And then so I'm just like, do they live in Chicago? And then I saw the car. I'm like, oh, no, they don't. Will they ever reveal where they live? No.
No.
I always just imagine East Coast somewhere, like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area.
I do get that. I do get that vibe. It does have that East Coast vibe.
Mm-hmm. Oliver right about Omni-Man? Is he right about his dad?
Yeah, that's tough. See, because, you know, it's different, I feel like, because human lives are so much, you know, to put it his way, fragile and short and stuff like that than their lives. So it's like a difference, I don't know, of like time. You know, with time heals all wounds. Enough time goes by, people will forget and they'll forgive. You know, they'll move on kind of thing. I kind of forgot where I was going with that, but.
Late at night with Meme and Jake, where we forget what we're talking about.
That's right.
ADHD episode. Burm, burm, burm.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. It's. I forgot the point, too. Let's move on.
Next question.
Rex. Ray. Yes. Ray's actually I'm gonna read the question how I have it written. Is Rex doomed with the wrong choice, or is Ray doomed for the right one? Because they like I think the story is writing up to there's going to be some type of consequence to this.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. See, there's still a little confusion, right? Because we saw like a potential future version of Robot, but it wasn't Robot, it was Rex. But it really feels like they're planning on killing off Rex, so that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. So I especially with, you know, all the talk that, you know, next time you're probably not going to make it out kind of thing, or you might not make it out, and
it's a lot of foreshadowing happening here. I'll be honest, this is a question that I generally ask myself, because it seems like someone is doomed just the way they're writing it. Of course, I know what happens next, but, or I think I know what happens next. Last question. So many Invincibles. Are you ready for it, Brandon?
No, I don't know how he could possibly stand a chance against so many of himself.
Yeah. It's gonna be a time. Let's get into ratings.
All right.
So this episode, this is one of the better episodes. Yeah. We get, it's kind of, it's, it progresses the story forward in a lot of ways, but it's also its own episode that deals with the philosophy of Mark and his guilt and killing, what is right, what is wrong. From Scott's perspective, and we'll talk about the ending too, how Scott didn't really forgive Mark. He blamed him. His sister died, his nephew died, his wife died, and his kid died. And he blamed Mark. And it's something that's going to weigh heavy on his mind, because Mark's going to ask himself, am I the bad guy here? And I think really it's, no. Is there things Mark can do better? Yes. But also, Powerplex is, Scott is not, like, he's not mentally well.
Yep.
As Adam Eve put
it. He's a broken man.
This episode, though, I really enjoyed it. It, in the comic, it was memorable to the point where, like, you knew that Powerplex fucks up Mark and kind of, like, puts him on a path, like, this darker hero path. It brings out the overall question, like, just a little bit further. But I think this animated show, this episode itself, really just highlighted it even more. Like, I think this episode is a lot better than what they did in the comics. Because, holy shit, like, it was a really good episode. And so for me, I'm like, it's either a 5- or a 5. And I really don't know how to put it lower than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the scale of things, I mean, a 5. Have you ever given anything a 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you given a 5?
Into the Spider-Verse, a couple episodes here or there that are just really hit. Invincible, I think season finale of season 1. I would give it a 5. Dark Knight. But I think Dark Knight gave a 5- just because I'm like, yeah, there's a little overrated part. I don't give out 5s often.
Yeah.
And I don't, the scale seems too small for a 5, but I also, like, I don't have any critique to the episode itself. I thought it was a really good, really well-written story. I really like the philosophy of Mark and Scott. Like, Mark didn't do anything wrong, but, like, in the way, there's a lot to feel guilty for.
Yep.
And I just, it's a really just well-written comic book arc, really well-written television episode. And I really like how the animation just shot up in quality. And I liked a little bit of parts of, like, Rudy and, like, this is very relationship-y.
Yeah.
A lot of relationships.
I mean, like, finding, actually, you know, finding a cure, so to speak, for Monster Girl and, you know, and Rex and Ray kind of coming to a point, I guess, where they split their separate ways. So there's kind of some resolution to some things, too, in a way, this episode.
So I'm going to say 5-, because I feel like it's, in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if this is going to be the best episode of this season, even, just because the next two might jump that in quality, at least for stakes, but yeah, at least a 5-. It might be a 5. I don't know. What do you think? Where are you at?
I think a 5- is safe. Safe. It could go up a little bit, but I think a 5- is probably pretty safe.
Yeah, and who knows? I think after the season, let's table that talk of episode 6, the Powerplex episode. Is that still a 5 for us?
Right.
Or is that like a 5-4+ area? But it's, yeah, it's top 3 for sure of best episodes.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
MVC.
There we go.
All right, so let's go through the last couple episodes. We have episode 1 through 3. We voted Mark.
Yep.
Unless we changed it to Cecil, but I think we did Mark, and MVP was Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
Number episode 4, we had Alan.
Yes. Yep.
For most valuable villain, we had Immortal. And for the last episode, prior to this one, Adam, Eve, and then we had Titan.
Yep.
Okay. So this is who I have my top 10 most available lists. Before we even record, I was like, I have a lot. And you're like, Brandon was just like, I think you have 10. And I was like, I exactly have 10. Giving me crap. It's like, you know, we only have to give you, you only need one, maybe two, maybe three, not 10, but I did 10.
Let's hear them.
So I'm just, we're not going to get into, I'll just give you 10 through 4 because I don't think the rest are really worth talking about.
Okay.
We have Rex at 10, Donald at 9, Oliver at 8, Shapesmith at 7, Debbie at 6, Ray at 5, Rudy at 4.
Okay. So all the characters of the show?
Yeah, that's how, that's how I put them in my brain.
Where's Paul fall into that?
Paul, honorable mention or dishonorable number 11. Mention. Hold on, let me put it on. 11. Okay. Number 3 might be surprising, but I put Powerplex here.
Okay.
In terms of like character-wise, I think like maybe you can say he's the most viable for this episode in terms of just writing.
Hmm.
I think you could argue him number 1, but I like to put I like to have most valuable character and most valuable villain in two separate categories. So for me, Powerplex is easy. The number is the most valuable villain for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Elephant Man for a close second. Actually, no. Let's be honest. Scott's wife might be number one here because villain disguise.
Right.
I mean, she was kind of the brains of the operation.
She's 1.5. One
more or less. I'm debating between I think Adam Eve is my number one, right above Mark.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think that's fair this week again.
She's a little bit too awesome.
Yep.
But like she just handles every situation like appropriately. She's the adult in the room, like we said last week. Mm. Knows how to handle Oliver. Knows how to handle this situation. Genuinely has Mark's best interest. Yeah, she's very valuable character.
I agree.
So,
and then Mark's number two.
Mark's number two, and then like yep. I think there's an argument for Powerplex just because in entertainment wise, like he is. He would be number one here.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's why we had two different categories. I'll put that in for later. All right. This is the part of the show where we do episode titles.
Yes.
We talk too much about episode titles and what they mean. I already know what they mean because number one, our next episode is What Have I Done? I think we know what this is going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
What have I done? As in, what have all my Invincibles done?
Mm-hmm.
You're not ready, Brandon.
Oh, I think I have an idea now what might happen.
Yeah, a lot happens. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And then episode 8 is, you know when like a lot of bad things happen? You know how they say bad things happen in 3?
Yep.
This is the three things that are going to happen, Brandon. Powerplex, a bunch of Invincibles, and then Conquest.
Yep. Bad things come in threes.
And by God, it's going to be a fun watch. So we got a double header the next 3 weeks. We have Invincible and Daredevil next Friday, or hopefully, or next weekend, we'll talk about it. Penitence War is happening. Bring your Kleenex box. Bring your popcorn. It's gonna be a fun ride. Or it's not going to be a fun ride. I don't know. It's going to be entertaining.
I'm here for it.
All right.
As
always. Well, this is your host, and this is me signing off. Thank you, Meme.
Thank you.